We might read from Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and reading from verse 19. Acts 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. The disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. There stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And we read a few verses in chapter 13, verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They had also John for their minister. And we believe that the Lord will bless to us the reading of His precious word. Last week, when we were speaking and looking at Barnabas, we mentioned the fact that Barnabas was a believer who was committed wholly to the Lord. He demonstrated his complete commitment by selling his possessions, his land, and giving it to the work of the Lord. And then we looked at the fact that Barnabas was an interceder, and he was one who could seek out one who needed somebody to intercede on his behalf. And that was in chapter 9 of Acts, when Paul came to Jerusalem, and Barnabas sought him out and listened to him, and then could come and to tell the elders of the church all about Barnabas, about Saul, and about how the Lord had seen him. He had seen the Lord, he had heard the Lord, and he had preached the things of the Lord. But now we come in chapter 11 to Barnabas, and here Barnabas is a servant of the church. He's a servant of the church at Jerusalem. Now, when Stephen was martyred in chapter 7, at the end of chapter 7 of Acts, following that in chapter 8, it says that the believers that many of the believers were scattered. And that word scattered that's used in Acts chapter 8, it's used again here in chapter 11, and then it's used in 1 Peter chapter 1. And that word scattered really is the idea of a farmer going out into his field and sowing the grain. And he's sowing the seed in the places where he desired it in anticipation of a harvest. And so the Spirit of God is using it here in Acts to indicate that after the death of Stephen, that these different believers were sent out where God desired they would be, that they might present Christ. And so we read of how they would come, and they had journeyed along, and they had come up to Antioch in Syria. And there in Antioch they had begun to preach, and there weren't all that many Jews there, but there were a lot of Gentiles. They tell us that at that time, that city of Antioch may have had as many as 500,000 people, 500,000 people, a lot of Gentiles. So they preached the word. And as they preached to their neighbors, to the people they came in contact with, a great number believed. They accepted what they had to say about the Lord Jesus Christ and about God. And they were saved. And a gathering began. A gathering was brought together, and word came down to Jerusalem. People in Antioch are believing the message of the gospel, and of course they wanted to know if it was true, and so they had to choose one. Who would they choose to send? They needed a delegate to go. Well, who naturally came to their attention but Barnabas. This is approximately 10 years after Acts chapter 4, when Barnabas has sold his possessions and given it to the work of the Lord. As the 10 years have gone by, what's Barnabas been doing? Well, Barnabas has been winning the confidence and the not only of the overseers of the church in Jerusalem, but the confidence of all the believers. And so all the believers could unite and send Barnabas. And so Barnabas makes that trip up. I don't know how long it would take to walk up that distance, but Barnabas arrives in Antioch. And when Barnabas arrives in Antioch, he saw how the grace of God was reaching out to Gentiles. And he was impressed with that. And it says in here that he was glad. He rejoiced in the fact that God was blessing and God was saving Gentiles. And then he began to exhort them. And he exhorted them to continue on. And when I think of that, there are three things that I would like to impress upon you as to how he had exhorted them. First of all, he was exhorting them to make the Lord the focus of their life. The focus of their life would be the Lord. Then he was encouraging them to know more and more about the Lord. If he's the focus of your attention, you're going to want to know more about him. And then he was encouraging them to live in fellowship, in communion with the Lord. So not only was the Lord the focus of their attention, not only was he the object of their desires to know more about him, but they wanted to have that fellowship and that communion with him. And it says of Barnabas that he was a good man. That really means that he was pleasant, he was cheerful, and he was honorable. They could trust him. And then it says he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was encouraging them to be full, to make God the focus of their attention. And by that expression, full of the Holy Spirit, it's indicating that this was one who was under the complete control of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God was directing his life. And then it says he was full of faith. Now, full of faith means that he believed the Word of God
and he was obedient to it.
And so we find this man, his character. And we find that he stays with them, and he's with them for a period of time. He's preaching the gospel to them. He's telling them. And it says, much people were added unto the Lord. That was for while Barnabas was there. But then Barnabas departed for to seek Saul. Now, I think that it's most important for us to recognize that in verse 24 it says of Barnabas that he was full of the Holy Spirit. So that I believe that what it's really saying is that the Spirit of God directed Barnabas to go and seek Saul. The Spirit of God revealed to Barnabas that he should find Saul, he should bring him down, and so Barnabas goes to do it. And he gathers up Saul, and he brings him here, and for a whole year, they're there with the believers there. They taught the people the Word of God. They taught them, they encouraged them, and when I think of this, I think of this fact that these two men are teaching the church in Jerusalem. Paul is one who knew the Word of God, the Old Testament. Paul could tell them what God had revealed in His Word. But Barnabas, as I mentioned last week, Barnabas was a Levite. Barnabas' heritage was in the things of God concerning the tabernacle as the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, concerning the temple, the service in the temple, and so that Barnabas could bring to them that the priestly service and what it meant to be a priest, a priest in God's house. And the two of them were complementary in their teaching. But you know, it says they taught. They taught the people. And one of the I think of what would they teach them? And I think that one of the things they would teach them was a love for one another. The importance of serving one another. And so when you come to the next title that I give to Barnabas, I call him a trusted messenger in the last half of chapter 11. Because there comes down prophets. These men who God reveals things to them. And there we find that Agabus stands up and says there's going to be a great dearth in the land. He says that there's going to be famine in the land. Now we can date that in Judea. In the year 46 A.D., in the summer of that year, there was the famine was extremely severe in the land of Judea. But I believe that really when this was brought to their attention, that it was really a divine test of the reality of their faith. Would they believe the message that Paul and Barnabas had been teaching them about the importance of having a love for fellow believers, of a desire to serve them? Would they really believe it? And we read that the believers were determined to send relief. And I think that a test had come. They had they had sought out to reach out to help other believers in other locations. And I believe that this was laying the groundwork for chapter 13 of Acts, where the church in Antioch sends out Barnabas and Saul to preach the gospel. They have reached out to others, and they will reach out again. And so, the Spirit of God links together these two men again, Barnabas and Saul. This is really the third linking together of these two men. In chapter 9, they're linked together in testimony before the church in Jerusalem. At the earlier part, chapter 26, they're linked together in the teaching of the believers at Antioch. And now at this part in chapter 11,
they're linked together in serving the church. And so they go down to Jerusalem and they distribute the relief that the believers in Antioch have sent to Jerusalem. But now we come on to chapter 13. And we see there Barnabas, a missionary. Now, I have to go on some of the commentators, and they say now this is about 15 years after Barnabas had made his commitment. Barnabas has been down there for quite some time. It's some time has passed by, and here the Spirit of God indicates, I want these two men sent out. You will notice that it says to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherewith I have called them. And I find, and that is an interesting expression. It indicates the fact that in the heart and soul of Barnabas, that there had been revealed to him a call from the Spirit of God. That call probably came when Barnabas was quite young, very early in his Christian experience, just as it came to Paul right at his day of his salvation, that the Spirit of God was going to call these men to go out and to preach the gospel. And the thing that impressed me is that it's been almost 15 years, and Barnabas has been gaining the confidence of the believers. He has been waiting God's time. Waiting the time when the Spirit of God would put His hand upon them and say, now, go forth. Now, go forth. And the Spirit of God has prepared them for this step. And so, from this step, they begin to go forth. And as they go forth in this step, we find two interesting things. I read those expressions. I'm not sure whether you have recognized them or not, but in chapter 13, we find that in verse 4 it says, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. The thing that impresses me is these two cities, Seleucia and Salamis. Those two words, Seleucia means light, Salamis means salt. And when I read those and I was looking at that, it impressed me that the first two cities that they visited had references back to Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew's Gospel, the Lord said, in John's Gospel, the Lord said, I am the light of the world. And in Matthew's Gospel, the Lord said to His disciples, ye are a light in the world. And then He had also said unto them, ye are the salt of the earth. And so I find in those two cities, and how the Spirit of God has impressed upon Luke to mention them, those two cities specifically, that the Spirit of God would remind us, remind them, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was to be a light or a revelation to the soul, and also a preservation to the world. So right from the very beginning of the gospel ministry, the preaching of these two men, we have that reminder that you and I are to be a light in the world. We are to be a salt, the salt in the world. We are to give a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by our very action, we are to be a preserving influence upon others. And so, as you read through chapter 13 of Acts, you'll find that Paul and Barnabas, they go to the island of Cyprus, and then they cross over to Asia, and they go up through Galatia and they preach the gospel. And then they return home. And when they returned home, you find that upon returning to Antioch, that Paul and Barnabas rehearsed before the church the things concerning God's guidance, God's direction for them in their life. And then finally, we find in chapter 15, there's a desire to go back again, to visit. But we find a sad scene amongst these preachers of the gospel. There's a disagreement. And here I put a title over it. There's Barnabas. He's seeking to restore to Christian service, to God's service, one who had failed, one who got turned aside. And Paul has said, let's go back to the places where we visited before and see how they're doing. And Barnabas is determined to take Mark with him. But you know, both of them are at fault there. Both Barnabas and Paul. Paul was insistent that he not go, and Barnabas was insistent that they do, that he should go. And so we find a division. It's very tragic when there are divisions between believers. It's tragic particularly that at the beginning of chapter 15, we find it's on personal bias in the first part of chapter 15. And then, I believe at this last part, it's really a misunderstanding and it's a failure to appreciate. And the thing that I've noticed in there is not once did Barnabas or Paul pray to God about the matter. Is that sad? That they know that this is the last reference we have to Barnabas. He's seeking to restore another one, seeking to restore Mark to God's service. And if we were to go on later on and to other portions of scriptures, we find that in 1 Corinthians 16, we find that 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, take Mark, bring Mark with you. For he is profitable unto me for the ministry. There came that time, Barnabas' work in restoring Mark was, we might say, successful. Had accomplished what it was that Mark was restored, and Mark became a great help in the Word of God, and we enjoy his ministry when we read through Mark's Gospel. And so there we have. Very briefly, we have this man, Barnabas. We have, first of all, in Acts chapter 4, he's a committed believer. He's committed all his possessions to the Lord. Chapter 9, Barnabas is an interceder. He's interceded on behalf of another. In chapter 11, the early part, he's a trusted servant of the church at Jerusalem. And chapter 11, at the end of the chapter, he's a trusted messenger as he brings relief to the church in Jerusalem. Chapter 13, we find that he is a missionary of the church. He's sent forth with the gospel to the believers, to the people first in Cyprus, and then to Galatia. And then finally we find Barnabas is one who sought to restore to the service of the Lord one who had fallen away. So we might have a word of prayer. Our God and loving Heavenly Father,